It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that's why this is really probably not going to be a particularly fun episode.
You didn't have to explain that to me.
Yeah. Let's just get out of the way. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world that we're recording tonight. I don't even know how this is going to go tonight, but I'm not directing it, and I have a lot to say. I'm guessing William has a lot to say on some pretty unhappy topics. So, you know what? If you listen to us because we're so hilarious, maybe skip this episode. But I'm guessing we both have things to say that we want to be heard. So,
well, and also that we're friends. This is the only time we get together to talk about things.
Yep.
There are a lot of things that we would talk about as friends that we don't get to talk about because we only talk on the podcast, and there are things that we would only talk about privately that we never get to talk about.
Well, and in theory, we could have emailed, but I couldn't bring myself to yesterday.
And that's true. We do sometimes email, but this is, I mean, this is a very important thing that's happened, and I realize that people probably don't like us to talk about these particular kinds of topics, but this is where we are, so.
Yep. And, yeah, I always talk about how I don't care what the listeners think. Tonight, I especially don't care, because I can do it. But that being said, feel free to participate in the conversation after the fact by going to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us what you think. I'm not really sure how to start this off. I guess I want to do a little timeline, because it's been a trip for me. I have my emotional state has varied a great deal in sort of obvious ways, but I mean in very dynamic ways. Tuesday night I was not going to pay any attention because I never find that useful. You know, why do you keep watching? Oh, this one. Then I'm like, that doesn't really give you any information. And also, that happens like what, once an hour, and then people are just talking the rest of the time.
Yeah,
I could not help. I eventually got to where there was a live electoral map on my phone, and I would check it maybe once an hour or so. But I worked really hard to distract myself. We watched TV shows, then Trish went to bed, and I watched terrible movies. It was really funny. As things got worse, I told myself, I'm like, I'm watching this movie, if Hillary wins here, I'm going to give this movie 5 stars, even though it sucks. If she doesn't, I'm giving this movie 1 star, no matter how the rest of it goes. As it turned out, I gave it 1 star, and it deserved 1 star, so that's okay.
Okay.
But yeah, I was like, there's going to be a lot of writing on this movie. As it got on, it got worse. And at some point, I don't know what happened. I think I couldn't distract myself anymore. I was at the point where I was checking every couple minutes. And so somewhere around 11, 11:30, I said, fuck it. And I pulled up my laptop, and I opened up that same map, and I opened up Twitter, and I opened up Facebook. And I just went for it. Okay. Just reading what people were saying. Facebook was not super active. A lot of afterwards. Twitter was really a in-the-moment thing.
I watched ABC because that's where Cokie Roberts was. I think she's great, and I love her analysis. So I watched that, and I also had a website up that was showing, because I wanted to see the map as it went, and I also wanted to look at individual states to
and
see
I did some of that.
How, like, if a state went for one candidate or the other, I wanted to know how much it went.
Yes, and at a certain point, though, some from hints in Twitter, I also opened up The Guardian.
Okay.
Because, and no one's, I mean, people theorize, but U.S. news agencies were reporting slower than international ones.
Okay.
And I was getting antsy because I was also like, I need to go to sleep at some point. But there's no way I could go to sleep at this point.
Right. Oh, and I was also monitoring the Senate and the House. I wanted to know that. Yeah. So.
And Twitter just freaked out. And I was freaking out with them. Mm. As I believe I've mentioned before, I can't cry very easily, or at least couldn't, before Tuesday night. I cried a lot Tuesday night. I've cried since then. It appears that something has snapped, and now I can cry really easily. But I was absolutely devastated. I didn't say anything. I didn't trust myself to say anything on Twitter. I retweeted a few things. And the one that I took with me all through the next day, even, was somebody just tweeted, "I love you. I'm so sorry this is happening. I love you." And that sort of became my mantra. I'm not entirely sure how I went to work on Wednesday, but I did, but nothing happened for the longest time. I didn't talk to anybody about it, including Trish. I didn't think I was able to. I also didn't ask anybody how they were doing, because I definitely couldn't handle whatever else people were having. At about 2 o'clock, I finally got the guts to ask NeuroDuck how she was doing. And she hadn't really talked about it either. And in that, she and I both kind of finally could say things. And a few people, another friend mid-afternoon sent me a text asking how I was doing. He was like, "Yeah, we were dealing with over here," and I suddenly realized, oh shit, Tony's probably pretty messed up. I'm like, yeah. By the afternoon, I was able to talk about it. I was able to go read things. I got better. I got functional again. And last night, we went out to dinner to the new place over there, Avocado Grill, mm-hmm. where Okaboji used to be, with NeuroDuck and coffee. Because they have a lot of vegetarian stuff. And the food was really good. The service was unbelievably slow, but I think that's just them finding their footing. But so we were there, and we were fine. We mostly didn't talk about it. Occasionally we did. But it was kind of a decent night. And, you know, I started unpacking and processing things. Mm-hmm. And by this morning, even better. Doing better. You know, I know there's stuff to deal with. You know, this sucks. But I'm doing okay. I mean, most of the morning, Trish and I are just talking. The drive to work, we didn't even really talk about this. It was doing better. I was even better than that by early afternoon. You know, I was really starting to think ahead and stuff like that. Somewhere around mid-afternoon, I must have hit peak, because a lot of the afternoon, suddenly, I felt really bad about it. Mm. And I think this is where I'm going to live for a while now, just sort of up and down mm-hmm. a lot, but I think sort of in this zone. And I did actually end up doing a kind of a Twitter rant, because I was just like, at some point I decided I had stuff to say, and for some reason I did it there. I'm not angry very much anymore. I was. I was totally looking for people to blame. I was really mad at you. You as an archetype, obviously, because your vote in Iowa wouldn't have done anything, but and just all sorts of people, because everybody's set to blame people. There are all sorts of people you can blame in different ways, but I realized that was pointless at this point, because that's the thing. I am bothered that Donald Trump is going to be our president. I don't like that. It sucks. I think things may happen that will be terrible under his presidency because he is president. Though I'm more and more getting more hope of things, like the rhetoric tends to be stronger on the campaign trail. It's already not so much. A lot of the things he is proposing, I'm like, yeah, you couldn't do that. Nobody's going to be able to do that. So it's mitigated a little bit, but I mean, it's going to suck. I don't like it. But the thing that really is getting to me is There's voter suppression and a lot of stuff to be worked out. But basically, he really did get elected as president. This isn't like 2000. Like, he did. And I'm coming to terms with the idea that somewhere between a quarter and a half of this country disagrees with me strongly on stuff that is just fundamental to my being. And I don't know what to do with that. I always felt I was fairly normal. I mean, I know I'm a leftist and all that kind of thing, but I didn't feel like it was that big a thing. And apparently there's just lots of people who just fundamentally, like, disagree with me on concepts of how the world works and how you should treat people and shit. And I feel like this puts me in a new place. And I mean, a lot of people who can present as middle-class white males, I think, are going through this right now. It's been interesting to me. The marginalized people who I think may really suffer under this are way more relaxed about it, because there's a very much same shit, different day kind of vibe. It's kind of like when Applied got rid of smoking and all the non-smokers got really mad on behalf of the smokers, and the smokers were like, yeah, this is...
I also think that a lot of people, non-white or, you know, people feel like a lot of other administrations weren't really that different in regard to these things, yeah. Just weren't as vocal about it. And then being vocal, brazenly vocal, it doesn't make it better, obviously.
No.
But it also doesn't make it all that different.
No, but it also, the whole thing becomes more and more complex in these ways, because I don't think that everybody who voted for Donald Trump was a racist bigot. Well, we know that's not true. Part of it is people just fucking hate Hillary Clinton, and I get some of it, but I don't really get it, and that bothers me. But also, some people view this as a chance, like, they specifically picked Trump because he was not an established politician. And I mean, this is the epitome of killing a spider with a meat cleaver, but I think there's something to that. I mean, the American people said something, and it wasn't just that we hate Muslims and minorities and stuff like that. A lot of them said that. Fuck them. A lot of them said that and didn't realize they were saying that. But some of them just wanted to shake things up, and Jesus Christ, they did. And, I mean, there's lots of arguments that also a lot of people didn't turn out to vote because they kind of thought it would never happen, and... You know, similar to the Brexit thing, but...
Well, I think the primary failure here, I think what the whole Trump phenomenon is pointing to, the primary American failure is the two-party system. It's the two-party system that alienates half the voters so that they don't even show up to vote. It's the two-party system that goes on to make it so... You only need like 28% of the electorate behind you to get into the White House. Obama only had 28% of the electorate behind him when he got into the White House.
Yeah.
It's the two-party system that allows a person to get nominated in a major party, and it's a two-party system that intimidates people into voting for only one of the major party candidates instead of someone they might ordinarily... I mean, hate voting is a product of the two-party system. So this is the inevitable result of our two-party system. If you think that this whole election was absurd and he's absurd and him getting elected is absurd, to me, you need to acknowledge that the two-party system is absurd. However, the two-party system only presented Trump as a option. People had to vote for him.
Or they had to vote for third-party candidates.
Well, what I'm saying is, ultimately, the people responsible for Donald Trump being president are the people who voted for him. Not the people who voted for somebody else, not the people who stayed home, and not the people who voted for whatever. For example, as I said, Barack Obama got in with 28% of the electorate. If everybody who showed up to vote for... And Donald Trump just got in with 26% of the electorate. And what that means is that everybody showed up to vote for Obama had showed up to vote for Hillary Clinton, she would have won. And we do know that a lot of people just didn't show up to vote for her. A lot of those people were African Americans, Latinos, and there's been some talk out there.
A lot of young people.
And there's been a lot of talk out there disparaging those people for not showing up to vote, but I don't think that's fair. What I'm thankful for is that the DNC is not doing that. The Democrats seem to be saying, you know what, this is on us, and we need to fix this. And I think they're right to do that, and I'm glad they're doing that. Meanwhile, yes, she didn't get 28% of the electorate like Obama did, but she got like 26 and change. That still should have been good enough. So the real issue is a whole bunch of white people who came out to vote who don't usually do, who gave it to Trump, who got in at 26. Now, you were saying that, you know, somewhere between a quarter and 50% of the Americans have very different values than you. Well, it turns out that it's not 50%. It is closer to the 25, but it's not even that, because exit polls say that half the people who voted for Trump were just hate voting against Hillary. So it's a very small portion of the American people who actually have very different values than you do. And that's the good news. The bad news is, I still think it's true that the biggest, the thing that propelled Donald Trump into the White House are issues of race, but not Confederate flag waving redneck race. Issues of race that pertain to white people who don't understand the power of white privilege. Mm-hmm. And that is the main thing about bigotry. And when I say bigotry, I mean racism, sexism, and homophobia, all of those. There are a lot of white people out there who they acknowledge that women and gays and African Americans and Latinos are oppressed. They don't want them to be oppressed, and they rejoice when something happens like gay people getting the right to marry. They've got gay friends. They'll go to their wedding. They'll celebrate with them. They'll weep at how wonderful it is that their gay friends can get married. But then their son tries to come out as gay, and they freak out. This is the nature of bigotry in America today. Americans are starting to understand the side of the equation where people are oppressed, but they don't yet want to admit who the oppressors are, which is themselves.
I've got a friend, this is from long before this, but I've got a friend, a white male friend, who is super leftist, like way more than me, in my opinion, who was trying for a grant at the time and did not get it. And in talking to me about it, explained how he understood why and everything, but it still kind of bugged him that he knew that if he wasn't white or if he was a woman, he would have gotten it. And I said nothing because I couldn't talk to that. I didn't know what to say.
Right, exactly, but this is what I mean. I mean, the reason that so many white people made this happen was because they're the same people that will say, yeah, Black Lives Matter, but don't all lives matter? Mm-hmm. Or who will say, I get that men are like that, but not all men are like that. These people, because of their privilege, they cannot see the impact and the implications of what they're doing. I mean, for anyone to think that it was okay to hate vote against Hillary for this person are clearly tone deaf to these types of things. And, you know, a lot of people were saying, well, these people, they heard Trump say these horrible things and they just didn't care what he was saying. But that's not true.
No. I heard a lot of the dismissals and so forth.
That's right.
Oh, no, that's just how boys talk. That's the big example there.
Which isn't untrue. I mean, I know a lot of...
Well, and even if it was true, that's not okay.
Well, I know it's not okay, but what I'm saying is, a lot of people... they didn't just hear Trump say these horrible things, but they heard Trump also say he's not a racist, he's not sexist. And all of these people who don't understand their own privilege, that's what their life is like. They'll sometimes say sexist or racist things. Someone will call them on it. And what do they say in response? Well, I know I just said that just now, but I'm not really racist or sexist. And they expect people just to accept that, with, you know, without them reflecting on what they said or why they said it. And when people don't accept that, they're offended by that. And so they see Trump doing the same thing, and they think, well, he's just like me. And again, this is the nature of bigotry in America today. And a lot, I think people need to understand that this wasn't just Trump, people ignoring Trump based on their economic situation or anything like that. This was people seeing Trump say all these things, and they could relate to that. They could relate to what he said. I mean, I know that a lot of NFL players and other people said, well, this isn't how we talk in my locker room. But every locker room I've ever been in, people talk like that. And where I worked, in all of the blue-collar jobs I've had, that's how people talk. And every time I called men into account who were talking like that, which I always did, even when I was back in high school, they always said exactly what Trump said. Look, it's just talk. We don't mean any of it. We've never done any of these things. It's how guys talk. They brag. They make stuff up. And so for a lot of people, this is their experience. And so a lot of the things that offended you and offended me and disqualified him from being president, it's not that they ignored those things. It's like you just said, they explained them away. And they're the kinds of things that they themselves say, that they explain away. And it's a real problem that we have to address in this country. And what upsets me is, you know, we've talked about judgmentalism in our society and how bad it is. But people also go the other way where you can't make any kind of sensible judgment at all, or they'll just call you judgy and dismiss whatever you say. But the judgments people have made about Trump are about the things he says and does, objective things, things that he doesn't even deny doing or saying. And I don't see how anyone can escape the judgment that he is unfit for this office. And that it's an embarrassment and a humiliation of the United States and for the office of the president for him to have won this office. And I can't, every day since it happened, I wake up. It's kind of like when my mom died. And I don't mean to be melodramatic, but when
no, dude, I keep comparing it to 9/11.
So. When my mom passed away, for a long time, I'd wake up in the morning. And then there was this horrible feeling when I remembered, oh, mom's not alive anymore. And that's what it's been like. I'll wake up in the morning and, oh, Donald Trump was elected president. I don't think it says very good things about America. And I don't think the people that voted for him are stupid or evil or anything else. But I do think there's a bigotry problem in our country that we're in deep denial about. And I think a lot of these people are good people, but they're in just terrible denial about their own culpability and their own, like I said, they're people that totally love their gay friends and celebrate their gay friends getting married, but would hate it if one of their kids were gay. Or they totally love their non-white friends and they support everything that they believe in, but they'd hate it if one of their white kids dated a person of color. It's that kind of thing that's, it's a kind of a big deal in the United States and that we really need to deal with on a cultural level. And that plus our messed up two-party system has made this happen. And it's a tragedy. And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if...
Well, we know some of what's going to happen because there are already a lot of people being harassed and attacked on the street since then. Muslims, gays,
yeah,
trans.
The fact...
I've got trans friends who are... freaking out they're going to get killed.
Okay, well, this is... And so the fringe people that you have in every society, I mean, psychologists tell us at least 10% of any given population has psychopaths in it, that, yes, it's a small group of people, But it's a group of people that has been emboldened by this, and that's significant because it's causing some real suffering, and God only knows how far that's going to go and when it's going to stop. And is Trump going to repudiate any of this? Is he going to criticize it? I doubt it, and that makes me angry.
Two different countries' worth of white supremacist groups have already explicitly endorsed and congratulated him on his victory,
which
including ours.
Which he should address this.
Yeah.
But I don't think he will. You know, I'm not one of those people, like you were saying, that, you know, you started to think about, well, that can't happen, that's not going to happen, and I'm one of those people that understands all that. But it's no consolation for the things that will happen and can happen. I mean, you know, yeah, the world's not going to end, we're not going to get Armageddon, but like you said, there's violence against certain people, that's certainly bad enough. You know, anything else that could come out of it that's bad is bad enough. And also, what about, you know, he has some legal problems right now. There is a possibility that something's going to happen in courts that might lead to him being impeached. And even though certainly a lot of people would love to see him removed from office, that's a very traumatic thing to the nation.
Also, it gives us Mike Pence, who, among other things, believes in conversion therapy.
Oh, yeah, and is that better? I mean,
no, that's... He's one of the few guys that I'm like, that might be worse.
So it's just, I mean, it's even if you're not the kind of person who thinks that the world's going to end, it's still it still says tragic things about,
I don't know anybody who doesn't think the world's going to end except for actual Trump supporters, of which I know very few.
Well,
everyone else is losing their minds, and that actually gives me hope. Everyone is losing
their minds. Well, and that might be a silver lining in all this, is that a lot of people who may have been pretty complacent about political issues are starting to think, well, I got to stop doing that. I've got to stop really being active. And that's a good thing that's coming out of this. But probably the thing that depresses me the most is that Trump took Iowa by 10 points. I've never been more discouraged and felt so bad about my home state, which everyone I'm sure knows I love so much, to know that so many Iowans, it was heartbreaking. And for me, this isn't a political issue. I think everybody knows I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. This is not about ideology. This is about the fact that a person who, even a lot of Trump supporters, even people who didn't hate vote him but support him, say, yeah, he's rough around the... I mean, nobody would dispute the facts of the reason why I think he's unfit to be president. They would just say, but, like you said, oh, he shakes things up or whatever. All of that is completely invalid to me. You cannot give any quarter to this kind of behavior. You cannot let someone like this take any public office, much less the highest office in the land. And I think that I think it speaks to a kind of privilege and bigotry that nobody wants to talk about, that's deep in our culture, that this was allowed to happen. And no, it's not, like I said, it's not Confederate flag-waving redneck bigotry. Because again, a lot of these people don't think of themselves as bigots because they do support people of color. They do support gays. They do support whatever. But there's this little piece of privilege they're hanging on to in their lives. And in the last several months, maybe the last couple of years, they felt that privilege threatened a little bit. You know, like Black Lives Matter. Well, don't all lives matter? You know, all of that stuff has made people feel like maybe I need to fight a little bit for my little white part of the country. But see, this is how nationalists work. Donald Trump is not a Republican or a Democrat or a conservative or a liberal. He's a nationalist.
It's not even that.
No, he is a nationalist. He's a proto-fascist.
I think he's a solipsist is what I think he is.
But
I think he's completely myopic narcissist. I think he does not give a good damn about anybody except himself.
And you've just described what every nationalist is. You've described what fascists are. Fascists really don't subscribe to a particular political or economic worldview. It's just whatever's going to work, whatever's going to give them power and authority. It's all about dictatorship, but it's also nationalistic because it's through nationalism. It's through trying to get a group of people to feel insular and superior. That's their path to becoming a dictator of those people. And so that's what he did. And like every nationalist, he doesn't align himself with the fringe freak people because that's not going to get him what he wants. He finds those people in the middle who are in the oppressing the oppressive class but don't want to admit they're oppressors, and he tries to convince them that, you know what, your gay friends are fighting for their rights and your African-American friends are fighting for their rights and all these people are fighting for their rights and you support them in that. Can't you as a white person fight for your rights? Well, that actually makes a lot of sense. And so then that's what they do. And that's how nationalism turns into fascism. And we've definitely taken the first step to that by electing this person as president. Now, fortunately, our Constitution and a lot of people who still care about our Constitution are going to make it pretty much impossible for him to take any other steps on that fascist road. But just the fact that we've taken that first step, to me, is so heartbreaking. And it's an embarrassment, I think. I think it's embarrassing for the United States to the rest of the country. And it makes me very sad. And I think I'm going to be very sad about it for a very long time. I don't think I'm ever going to get used to Donald Trump being president. I don't think I'm ever going to get over the fact that a nationalist won an election and made that first step in fascism in our country. I do have very good confidence that that's as far as it's going to go, but I don't like that it got this far, and I'm outraged by it.
Yeah, I don't have confidence of anything anymore.
Well, and I can understand that. And there are a lot
not
of people...
Not even because, I mean, there might be... I should rephrase that. I intend to live my life in a manner consistent with having no confidence anymore.
Yeah.
There's still stuff that I'm like, no, I can't be. But I'm prepared for it now because I have to be. Because I was super confident about this.
Well,
and I know you didn't like her either, but I'm also really pissed off that Hillary Clinton, who I think could have been one of the greatest presidents we've seen in decades, will never be president now. Because there's no way she's running again. At this point,
I don't know if she will or not. But
I think she's kind of too old to pull it off. I don't know why she would want to at this point. She's already done it a couple of times. Like, I find it really unlikely. And I also think that America has proven this time around that for whatever goddamn reason, they just fucking hate her. I don't know what it is. There's something. I mean, a lot of it was that she was a woman, and fuck you all for that. But people just hate her specifically. And I don't understand that.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what... I'd prefer not to really get into that, what I think maybe, or depending, based on what people have said or whatever. I mean, for example, I read an article of a Muslim woman who voted for Trump and what her reasons were, and it had to do with things about Clinton and her policies. So there are reasons.
Oh, yeah, no, I've seen reasons. And they're all legit, not enough to elect Donald Trump.
No, certainly not. Certainly not. And that's kind of my point. Nothing legitimizes. I mean, maybe it legitimizes you voting for Jill Stein or Gary Johnson or something, or not voting at all, as many people opted to do. But voting for Trump, I mean, see, that's the thing, is that it doesn't really matter that not enough people, you know, that all the people that voted for Obama didn't show up to vote for Clinton, because, you know, Trump shouldn't have gotten up to 26% of the electorate anyway. It shouldn't. I mean, you know, if you calculate in the psychopaths, maybe he was going to have 10 or 15%, whatever. But 20, I mean, that shouldn't have even happened. But 26, it just shouldn't have happened. Again, I think the reason it happened is because there's a whole lot of people who are privileged enough to not take very seriously the obvious problems there were with this candidate, and that privilege and the bigotry that it and the that it inspires needs to be addressed in this country. But I don't see how it's going to be in the next 4 years anyway. I mean, unless, like I said, unless he gets impeached or whatever, but then you said, like, Pence is the president. It just seems whatever happens, it's going to be a mess. Not Armageddon mess, but a mess. It's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be easy. But, as I said, the silver lining is that a lot of people are going to be active now who weren't before, and maybe in the end it'll be a positive thing or a good thing. I don't know. I guess I hope for that, because otherwise it's very, very disappointing and discouraging. And, you know, for any of our listeners who voted for Trump, I just don't understand your, I mean, I understand it as far as I've explained it so far, what I think happened, but I don't understand how a person can't reflect on these things and hear these terrible things he says and not think, okay, well, even if you can excuse it based on some thing, it still doesn't make him, I still don't see how you can't see that he's not fit to be president. So I will not, you know, I just am not going to understand that choice, I guess. So, yeah, I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah, me neither. Saw Doctor Strange. I liked it. Tristan didn't like it, but we both felt it was this. We both had the same opinion of it in terms of what was good and what was bad. Mine just balanced out to liking it, and hers balanced out to not.
Yeah, we probably will just wait for it to be on video.
They did that. They did the trailer that had all the weird Inception looking stuff, and they said, they claimed, like, that's just the tip of the iceberg for the weird, trippy shit you're going to see in this. They were not lying. The visual effects were really just psychedelic and crazy. The story's terrible. In that, it's not terrible like Thor's terrible. The story's just so generic and cliched. And it's super generic origin story again. I leaned over to my friend who I was seeing with him, like, can we move on to the part where he's horribly messed up and has to find humility and grow as a person? Because I get it. He's a brilliant surgeon. His hands are very important. He's an asshole. Let's move on with that. Because you always have to do that. They have to be an asshole, and then they fall, and then they learn him. And then I'm like, yeah, let's just move on. I get this part. Let's just go. And I will never get used to his accent.
He did an American accent?
Yes. Eventually, it feels a little normal, but... So, Mads Mikkelsen is in it. And it was a big thing about, like, how he's not... He wouldn't say what part he was playing. And what's kind of keeping... Oh, it'll be a mystery. He's the villain. You learn that in the first scene quite explicitly.
I think it's pretty obvious by the trailers, too, for that matter.
I'm like, why? Why was this a big secret? Because it's very clearly... there's a romance subplot that is stupid as hell. I mean, there's a lot of stuff like that. Visually, it's just impressive. And this cracks me up, because he's a sorcerer, or he eventually is a sorcerer, and he's a smartass. There were such shades of Harry Dresden in this in places. It was kind of amusing to me. A couple times I'm just like, that just straight up feels like a Dresden line. And that was fun. But it was good. I finally... So, supposedly they were going to have that second trailer for Wonder Woman. And it was going to be showing during Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
And it was a big thing. Well, first of all, they released it beforehand. Second of all, didn't appear in Doctor Strange.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say
that. I only saw that afterwards, and I was like, okay. I didn't like it as well as the first trailer. I mean, it's fine. I'm still excited for the movie. But, yeah, it didn't feel the same. I saw a trailer for the Power Rangers movie that kind of got me excited. I mean, it's going to be dumb, but I think it's going to be fun, too. And as a kid, it was raised on it. Obviously, I'm going to vote And obviously, as I feel like I've always done, I'm going to stand up against any bigotry and prejudice that I run into in my life. I feel like I should do more, but it's me. You know, just like the sheer laziness there. But the thing I did realize is I can definitely do things, but also I can donate. I think I may do things like donating to, you know, ACLU, stuff like that.
Sure.
Planned Parenthood.
Sure.
Start doing that. Because he's going to be a president, people. I'm not... this is not my president shit, is bullshit. We all thought it was bullshit through the Obama years. We can't start doing it now. He's our president. And also, if he's our president, then he's fucking accountable for what he does as president. I stole some of this from Emily Heller, but that's how I feel. So what we just have to do is make sure we fight. Make sure we stand up. Make sure not crazy things, not trying to break the system or whatever, but there are things we can do. We can peacefully protest. We can vote. We can write our congresspeople. When and if and when things come up, we fight tooth and nail against them.
Well, that's right. I mean, one thing to remember here is, yeah, he's our president. He's just our president.
Well, I mean, if you look at the shit he has planned for the first 100 days, surprisingly, it made me feel better for a couple of reasons. One, some of the stuff's actually kind of good. Very not him. I'm sure somebody else came up with, but there's a few things that I'm like, if this happens, this could be awesome. But the big thing is, of course, overall, as is true when you see any new president in their 100 days plan, I don't think most of it will happen at all. It's like when Obama kept saying every year he was going to close Gitmo.
Right, right.
It's not because he didn't want to.
But also, it's not like, I mean, it's, you need, I mean, I realize that Republicans control the Senate and Congress,
yeah.
which I think, as obviously disappointed I am about this election, I'm so much more concerned about how things came out with the Senate and House, because to me that's more important. And it doesn't bother me that the Republicans control it. What bothers me is the notion that we now have a president that might rubber stamp everything that the Congress does. Yeah. But again, that just means you need to be engaged. You need to be writing your congressman, you know, signing petitions when that comes up. Because, you know, senators and congresspeople are responsive when enough people are contacting them and pressuring them to do certain things.
His number one thing when he gets in office is to propose a bill making term limits in Congress. I'm like, yeah, that's going to happen.
No, probably not.
Of course not, for so many reasons, not the least of which is you need the dudes to do it who it would be messing up.
Well, there's also his insistence that he's going to mess up, you know, the TPP, which a lot of people disagree with. But the problem with that particular one is that, well, what's he going to replace it with? Because I don't know if I trust his trade negotiation skills.
I don't. I'm not saying he can't do it, and I'm not saying it won't happen, and I think it'll suck. But I think it's going to be harder to get rid of Obamacare than they think it is. And I'll tell you why. It gave a lot of people access to health insurance. And so the people in Congress, their constituents, many of them benefited from this. And it's going to be hard to say, oh, we're getting rid of it. Like there's proof of it now. It's not a hypothetical thing. It actually happened. And I think his constituents are going to be... I'm not his. Congress's constituents may push back on that.
Well, and there are more important even than that, I think, is the fact that, you know, insurance companies can't drop someone from coverage just because they have a claim, which it's insane that insurance companies could ever do that in the first place. So Congress isn't going to be able to repeal it without having...
Oh, yeah, they're supposedly going to come up with something, and he's already talked about that, and pre-existing conditions won't be a thing, and blah, blah, blah.
Right,
blah.
So yeah, there's a lot of complications with that.
But it's really up in the air what's going to happen. But we just have to fight to not lose as little ground as we possibly can. Which, and I don't, again, I'm not going for the not my president bullshit. I'm not going for the let's toss him out. Not, like, he got elected, dudes. He's there, but he needs to know that we know. And honestly, it warmed my heart to see the shots of the protests in New York. 100,000 people sure. on the streets.
Right. And
nobody was doing anything. Nobody's fighting anybody. Nobody's screaming at anybody. They were just there.
Yeah, right. And what makes me feel sick, I mean literally sick to my stomach, is not really anything that I think is going to happen or not happen. It's just the fact that it did happen, you know.
Yeah.
To me, that's enough. I don't feel like the next 4 years are going to be hell or anything. I like you said, we do need to be vigilant. And I think
because there's potentially some real danger.
Yeah, yes.
Not
yes.
for you and I.
Well, that's right. And we need to be vigilant. And I think people will be. And I think that
I hope so.
I think that a lot of things won't happen, or that if they do happen, they'll be easy to reverse later. I'm really not that concerned about the practical things, as I am just so disappointed in the people of my state and, you know, other white people who seem to be so blind to how terrible this is. And again, it's exactly the same thing as people saying all lives matter or not all men. They don't get it. People who say those things don't get it. And it's those people that don't get it who voted him in office. And I don't know. I just wish that hadn't happened. I think it's a terrible thing. But, you know, I think that everything's going to be okay. I mean, in real terms, but
I don't necessarily think that.
But in the meantime, I'm very sad and upset about it.
If it's not okay, it's going to be over our dead bodies. We can't quit the system, people.
No, that's exactly what we can't do. That is precisely what we cannot do. But for most of us, we've already been engaged in the political process and writing our congresspeople and all this other stuff. I mean, you know, this it's going to be business as usual for many of us who have been politically active for a long time. We might have to ramp it up a little bit, but I don't know. For a lot of us, I know exactly what my congressman and senator in the state and the federal level are voting for. I respond with letters whenever they, you know, I read bills.
Yeah, you're unusual in that.
Well, and, you know, I saw a thing today when Ed Snowden was talking to people about things. I watched a live thing where he was talking, and he said what I've often said is that Americans are required to do way too much in the political process. You know, we're supposed to have a media that does a lot of the legwork for us and gives us stories that helps us keep up with these things. The media has so failed us in all aspects of American political
life.
Which
extremely highlighted this time, because the media was as shocked as anyone. If you see the election night coverage of anybody,
yeah,
there's just shock, and in some cases horror, and just not. I had it at the time. I thought Stu from listener Stu, I thought he sent me a direct message in Twitter, but it turned out he was just tweeting. But I replied to it without realizing, and all he just said was "What the actual fuck." And all I could reply back was, I don't know. I don't understand what's going on.
Well,
and I think that's how the entire media was reacting.
And the explanation for that is quite simple. A bunch of people showed up to vote who don't usually do, and they voted in a way that nobody expected they would. And to me, that actually says something positive about. To me, it's a good thing that a lot of people in our culture are surprised that so many people showed up to make such a horrible, stupid choice.
No, I also feel better that so many people feel this way.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, to me, it's a good sign that nobody saw this coming, because nobody should expect, you know, when you're walking down the street, you expect people to act in a decent way. And I think that's right for you to expect people to act that way. And you should be shocked and surprised. And it should be unexpected when someone, you know, just walks up to someone and punches them in the face. I mean, that's the reaction you should have. But you also shouldn't be so cynical that you're always expecting someone to punch somebody else in the face. So this was exactly the right thing for people not to expect this to happen. And I think they should still be optimistic and positive about human nature. I don't think they should let it turn them into cynical people, because that's exactly the wrong direction to go. We should remain hopeful. We should remain positive. We should try to find that common ground. I mean, you know, I'm not sure that I am totally... I've heard a lot of people say that kind of stuff since this happened, where I think that I feel like the message is a little too conciliatory. Like, we're not going to try to figure out why this happened and try to prevent this in the future. But I do agree with the general message of, you know, we can't. It's divisiveness and it's dualities and all this stuff has brought us to this point, and we need to learn a lesson and not be that way from here going forward so that we can fix this thing. So, yeah, I think people need to try to be hopeful, try to be optimistic, because there's a lot to be hopeful and optimistic about, and it's only by being those things that we're going to see the opportunities that we need to take advantage of to make things better. So, you know, I'm not lacking in hope. I'm just really disappointed.
I'm lacking in hope, and I don't feel like being optimistic at all. I feel like being vigilant. The reason I say we need to do it in the system is because I still, overall, think the system is not... I'm not ready to just break it. I'm not ready to just break our system of government. We got to work within it.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've got methods to do that, but I'm not saying be hopeful. I'm saying be vigilant. I'm saying...
Well, to me, they're not different.
I agree they're complementary. I don't think they're identical.
Well, I guess for me personally, they are. Maybe for other people, it's different.
I don't know what's going to happen. And honestly, I understand we need to learn from this going forward. In time, might work on that, especially when we get into the next set of campaigning and stuff. But for right now, I don't really care why it happened. I care that it happened. And what the hell we're going to do about it. Because it is so easy for us to get bogged down into analyzing what happened. And then we're just talking about, oh, we got to make sure we don't do that next time. And we just ignore everything else. Talking about why it happened. No, we need to work on what we're going to do because it did happen. And like I said, what we're going to do is fight it in the system. Every step of the way. Do not let them get away with anything if we can possibly help it. And I'm talking about civil rights. I'm talking about, no, we can't fucking register Muslims. Somebody came up with a brilliant idea. If they try and pull a thing where you register as a Muslim, I'm registering as a Muslim. I'm absolutely registering as a Muslim.
That's a good idea. Is someone thinking about doing that? Is that...
That was one of his deals.
Registering?
Yes, registering all Muslims. Because if they're not terrorists, they know who the terrorists are.
So that's another step down the fascist road.
All of this shit. Don't let them.
I...
And maybe they won't, or maybe they'll trip themselves up or whatever, but keep an eye out. If anything manages to manifest, we're going to fight it.
I cannot believe that the rest of the government would allow a suggestion like that to ever be implemented, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I'm not taking any chances. I cannot believe one of the worst people I've ever seen in my life. One of the worst people, just as a human being, that I have ever witnessed speak. Words have never come out of his mouth that did not horrify or disgust me. For decades, for my entire life.
Well, especially
this man has quite publicly and openly been a terrible person as his profession.
And unapologetically.
And we elected him to president. I'm not putting anything off the table now. I'm still legitimately concerned that some foreign dignitary insults him and he nukes them. I'm legitimately concerned that could be a thing. So we got to keep our eyes out, people. But the way the system is built, we haven't lost everything. Like, you know, he's got 4 years. And maybe less if he gets impeached.
Right.
So we can't give up. But it's going to be a rough 4 years. And we got to be prepared for that. And maybe it's not a rough 4 years. That would be awesome. But I'm not willing to.
Well, if it's not, it's going to be because of what you said, that people are engaged and they're on top of it and they just don't let anything get by that's ridiculous. That's the only way it's not going to be. Which it can be. I mean, like I said, I'm very optimistic, but for me, the biggest thing is just the disappointment that this happened.
Absolutely. I'm trying to find... my relationship with this country has changed through this experience. This is part of why I keep comparing it to 9/11, because on 9/11, sitting in my apartment with Trish, watching the news, I turned to her and I said, nothing's ever going to be the same again. And I was right and wrong, because aspects of our lives, aspects of how we perceive things, aspects of our day-to-day life have changed drastically because of 9/11 permanently. But a ton of things, after a little while, went back to the same. And I feel like this is going to be like, I feel like pretty quick it's going to be politics as usual. But I've seen a new side of this country that I need to be aware of, and that I need to redefine my relationship with this country. I'm not leaving this country. I don't hate this country. I still consider myself an American. America looks different than I thought it did. And I'm trying to figure out what that means to me. And where I fit in it now. Because I don't fit in the spot I thought I did.
Well, yeah. That's one of the things that hurts so much is how many people feel like that today.
Yeah.
I just hate that people feel like that. I hate it.
And I think I'm losing some friends over this. I pretty much rooted them out already, but just recently a couple have come up that were, I guess, just sort of didn't say anything during the election, but as soon as it was done, and they've got legit reasons. They still think he's a terrible person. But they've got other reasons why they think it's okay, and why they think it'll even make things better. And I don't like doing always and nevers, and being judgmental. Like I know, but they're wrong. And there's not an argument to make. Clearly, just like I said, fundamental things that I believe are sacred, for lack of a better term, I really wish I had a better term, are more important. If you could tell me that he's going to do incredible things for this economy, and that Hillary would have tanked it and screwed, I don't care. I don't fucking care. Yes, it's important. But the fundamentals that everybody gets to be able to be treated fairly, and people don't get to be kicked out of countries because of their religion, or assumed to be rapists because of their religion, or get groped under any circumstances. And what? Obviously, as a president, he can't make it, so now we're just going around and groping people. But we have made a message to the children, to our country, and to the world that a dude who's into that shit and a dude who talks like he does about that shit is totally cool to lead us.
Yeah, that's the problem right there. This is what I meant when I
no
said...
No matter what actually happens...
Yeah, yeah.
We did that.
This is what I'm saying, that this is not about ideology. This is about principle. I saw an Al Jazeera report about this where the guy said at the end that people are discovering that the America they live in, and then they didn't realize this before, but that the America they live in, there's like two different moral spheres.
Yep.
And that's right, that word moral is important. This isn't about policy or even ideology, even though ideologies are often tied to morality. This is about common human decency. And you just, if you can excuse Trump for doing these things as a businessman and a reality TV star, I don't care. But not as a president of the United States. It just,
it's not a person anymore. It's the president.
But this is what I'm saying. The people who are looking past this, it's, to me, it's evidence of a certain insensitivity that's related to privilege, and that's something that we as a culture need to address and fix.
And just in case people want to bring this up, because this is a real thing, and even though I was very happy at the time, and I still think it was, in general, a positive time period, no, Bill Clinton would not get to be president now. At least not for me. That guy has done some fucked up shit. That guy has been as abusive to women as Trump. Maybe he's been better at being sneaky about it. But that dude, no.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not okay either.
No, that's right.
So if you think I'm trying to have it both ways, I'm not. I hate the fact that I now kind of think Bill Clinton is a scuzzball.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's true.
Yeah.
And
yeah, kind of like,
if Trump has a presidency as good as I thought that one was, it's still going to be that we elected a scuzzball. And this time, we openly knew he was a scuzzball before we started. He told us how much of a scuzzball he was.
And this is why, for me, it really isn't going to matter what his presidency is like. Even if it turns out to be a really decent 4 years, I'm sure completely by accident, if that's the case.
Yep.
I'm still not going to feel good about it. I'm not going to vote for him for another 4 years. I am always going to feel terrible about this, in a way that I've never felt terrible about a president before.
I think that's already true for tons of people.
I mean,
before we started this tonight, I was checking Twitter again. People are having reactions with enough sorrow and anger and confusion as they did the night of the election. It has now been 2 days, and for a lot of people, the shock and the pain is, it's not even wearing off a little bit at this point. And I think it will eventually. But the fact that we can go this long and it's still this raw already is just...
Well, I think it's because, I mean, I've known people who were like devastated when George W. Bush got elected or whatever. These are experiences that I couldn't relate to because I never got that emotionally invested.
Oh, no, I absolutely had those. And I feel like I owe W. an apology, which I feel really weird about now.
But what I'm saying is, I never got that emotionally invested in these things, and I don't think I'm getting emotionally invested in the politics of it now. What I'm emotionally invested in is the moral situation here, which I don't think has been nearly as relevant in any other presidential election as it is right now. And because of that, it's never going to go away. I'm just going to have to get used to it, but I'm never going to feel better about it. I mean, I think a lot of people who responded strongly emotionally because their person lost or because they thought they didn't like the policies of this person, eventually got over it because time and practical issues showed that maybe it wasn't going to be as bad as they thought. But this is never going to be better. I mean, he's always going to be this morally compromised person who should never have been elected to the presidency, and it doesn't matter what the policies are. It's not, like I say, it's not about ideology. It's not about anything that can change or get better or that I can find out I can actually live with it. No, this is something that is true about this person. He's 70 years old. He's not going to change. That's always going to be true about him, and I'm just never going to be satisfied with this, ever.
Agreed.
And so it's not going to, I hope that the presidency is fine, but it's not going to change my opinion about him or about this choice. And there's no way I want him to get reelected in 4 years under any circumstances.
Of course not. Of course not. All right, people, we are way over time. I don't know, let us know your thoughts on themagicaltalkingad.com, or don't. This was mostly cathartic for me. So
we just needed it for ourselves, I think.
But some of you may find it strange and compelling, as I've heard some of you can. We'll be back on our game next week. Love you guys. Stay safe.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.